I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming and drummers. I'm George Pickering and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
Your new album's called Slim Thick.
Yeah.
And my book is called Interlim Dynamics. And here we are.
Here we are.
We're back.
Another episode.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a while.
It does feel like it's been a while. I've missed it. I've found that I crave it in a way. It's almost like a build-up. It's like a build-up of, fuck, I've got to get this out. Maybe it's bile. Maybe it's like a bile build-up.
Yeah, is it a sick feeling of build-up? I need to vomit it out.
Yeah.
Because I guess no one else in your close listening. Life cares.
Yeah.
Elfie, I've got to tell you this. He's like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
He needs to do his podcast.
Yeah.
He needs to be verbally milked.
This is it. She's sending me on another cooking course. Go and talk to someone there about your drums.
It's just me and you, baby.
Me and you, baby.
Here we are. Lots to talk about, so let's rattle on through. Lot. You start us off, George. What you got for us?
What do you want? Because, I mean, we've had a little discussion on what I have to talk about. What do you want first? I gave you... I'll rattle it off with the key titles. Okay. Heavy-handed... Correspondence, Slim Thick, Click. Which do you want?
Let's get some correspondence done.
Okay. So correspondence. So in a fairly recent episode, I was discussing using Ableton on gigs and using an SPD on gigs to run tracks. And the differences and the pros and cons of those sorts of things. And when I spoke about using the SPD for the gig I did with Mackenzie... With Green Day as well, yeah. Downstairs.
When you were supporting Green Day in a different room, but yeah.
Supported by a little-known act. And I was talking about the SPD editor software. And basically, do you know what's weird about this podcast? Sometimes you're saying stuff, and as much as I still feel like that we don't have any listeners.
No, we don't.
Kind of, we got a few now. And I always feel like sometimes I'll say something and I'll think, are people listening to this going, oh my God, how did you not know that, you fucking idiot? Are you doing a drum podcast and you don't know that? But sometimes I'll say things that I'm like, well, you might not know it.
And this is the beauty, George, because this is our experience in drumming.
Yeah.
It's our experience in drumming. And we're sharing what we know. Which people might not be aware of things. You know, we have our experiences, but then there's plenty of other people who have got way more experience and different experiences to us.
Way more.
So what we're trying to do here, we're not trying to, you know, separate people by our differences. No. We're trying to bring it together.
Exactly.
We've got some knowledge we're lacking in others. Other people have got some knowledge lacking. Let's bring it all together in one
big... Let's make a community.
Let's make a spag bowl and let it reduce.
Ooh, mama. So I was talking about the SPD editor software, and Jack Hickling messaged me. I can't find the message, but he was basically like, oh my God, I didn't know that was a thing. I've downloaded it, and this is amazing. This is a lifesaver. Because I think he was doing the same thing I used to, just get a USB stick. You know, the way of the noughties, and do it that way. Or maybe the teenies. USB, floppy disk? When did floppy disk get taken over by the USB, do you reckon?
Oh, a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, floppy disk was taken over by the CD-ROM.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The classic CD-ROM. Yeah. So Jack Hickling, friend of the show, friend of ours, said, oh, I didn't know about that. Thanks for letting me know. And then someone else, Jordan Wright, I'd say a new friend of mine, said, he messaged me, been catching up on all the drumming podcasts because I dropped off them for a while. Was dying inside when you were talking about doing your SPD via a USB. So glad you bought the good editor. So do you know what I mean? Some people have gone, I didn't know about this. Brilliant. And then some people have gone, how did you not know about this?
Yeah.
And then he's given me an insane insight. I still haven't done it yet, into how you can split tracks from an SPD when running tracks live. I'd always thought it was just like, you can just send it as one thing.
Just one single output to the front of house.
Exactly.
Jordan's saying, you're an idiot. and his words, not mine. And saying that you can send separate channels to front of house. Because the sound engineer at your gig when you headlined for Green Day was, it would be great if I could have these stems separately so I could balance. Ergo, the strings are a bit louder than the synth there and I could bring that down. So
exactly.
Two breadths of knowledge. You're somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
And that's the beauty of learning. It comes to us all.
It's the beauty of learning.
Do you know Jordan?
No. Do you know what?
Or is this... No. You don't know him?
There's a few... Right. So, Jordan, if you're listening...
I've not seen any of these messages, by the way.
No, I was just telling you this.
Just in general, you don't tell me anything.
I've been hustling hard the past few weeks and just messaging drummers that I'm following.
Emsworth Hustle. Not as good as American Hustle.
And just been going, look, you're a drummer. I'm a drummer. If you need a drummer for any, you know, gigs, let me know.
Yeah.
Because I'm here. Because it's something I haven't really done before. And I just sort of got in touch with him because we both follow each other. And then, he then messaged again when we put out the Georgia episode and said he enjoyed it. And then that's when the conversation started of the SPD stuff. So Jordan's someone I vaguely know.
That's great. Well, thank you for getting in touch.
Yeah, thank you for getting in touch, Jordan. Even if it is being like, what are you doing? No, you didn't say that. Right, I'm going to rattle through stuff.
Yeah, move on. Let's move on. What were the other three headlines that I can pick
slim,
from?
Slim, thick, click, and heavy hand.
Let's go click.
Okay, click. So last week, Matt Hector?
Yes.
Last week, we spoke to Matt Hector, and he spoke about disappearing click. This is something that I've been working on more and more recently, and it's great. It's very meditative. So,
right. Run through how you have that set up and what exactly it is.
So,
because we're bandying this phrase around,
I know
some people might know what it is and some people might not. Let's bridge that gap.
Well, I'll tell you what I assumed it was. When you start playing and you no longer hear the click because you're so on it, you know. And I'd never thought about that before. Whenever I've been practicing anything, I'm always, I'm in time with a click, but that's it. But then the more you kind of, get into a groove of something, the click will just disappear. If you're if you're hitting on the click, it will just, you can't hear it anymore. And that's my interpretation of it. And because when we spoke about it, you asked him, he said, well, what do you mean by that? So I've been working on some stuff with Pat.
Right, okay. Can I just clarify? So is that what it is?
I don't know.
Because I have a different interpretation.
What do you think it is?
My interpretation of it would be, and I might be wrong.
I think I might be wrong.
Is you start off playing with a click and you play 16 bars.
Yeah.
The click drops out and then it comes back in 16 bars later.
And
are you with the click?
I mean, that is...
That's what I would assume it was. But it could also be, that you're just you're just playing the same groove, that you're so on it that you can't hear the click anymore.
I mean, what you've just said is
because for me, the click dropping out and then coming back in, even if it's just for a bar, is really getting you groove into that click. It drops out and you just maintain that BPM.
Mm.
And then it comes back in, and you could vary the length of those gaps.
Yeah.
From one bar to two bars, four bars. That's what I thought it was.
Well, that, you know, we don't really know, it appears.
Yeah.
I've just taken an interpretation of it. I mean, it can be whatever you want it to be. But my thing is getting it so, because basically I've been playing this thing with Pat, where drums. We've moved from the pad onto.
I've been playing this thing, and it's got these round things, and these metal bits,
and these loud,
these gold
metal
bits, and
things.
You sort of hit them. Been playing this thing,
and basically, if you really stay on something, eventually the click sort of disappears. That's my interpretation of it. And then if you go too fast, you can hear it come back, and you go, "Whoa, easy boy, let's drag it back a bit," you know. And I've just been doing that, and it's like the funnest thing. It's something I haven't really done before. If I've been practicing before, I just like, yep, that's in time. But to really sit there and go like, let's make this click disappear. That's my interpretation.
So I have a thing slightly on a slight tangent from that. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of studio drumming, and when Neil is usually, it's always Neil tracking me.
Yeah.
Right. When we're sound checking, he just wants like to start with like a standard rock beat, just on the hi hat. Yeah. Hit hard, nothing to, it doesn't want fills and loads of cymbals, just a standard hi-hat beat.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of drummers have experienced this, the inner temptation is to just add a little fill, hit a crash, switch to the ride, make the kick and snare pattern more funky, add a bit of interest. But just going, boom, ka, boom, boom, ka. And I will just, because that's all he wants, he just wants a hi-hat beat because he's checking kick and snare, and probably overheads and ambience. Then eventually he will be like, can you do the same thing on the ride? Then we'll do the toms, etc.
Yeah.
But I will just, how long can I just play this simple groove without adding anything else?
Yeah.
Don't add a crash on the one. Don't make the kick and snare. It's really hard.
Yeah, it is.
To not be like, oh, just a boom, ga, ga, boom, boom. Don't add that ghost note snare. Just... And I guess that's what I took from Matt saying that just playing a simple groove for 20, 25 minutes, really focusing on. Because that when you start adding things, that's where you start to vary your tempo or things like that.
Yeah.
Can you just let that click get in your head and play that
groove? Well, my thing as well, with it, when he was on about the Benny Greb thing with the tightrope, it is that. It is you're on the click and then you hear the click go one way or the other from what you're playing. And you go, right, well, which is it? Am I now ahead or am I a bit behind? Because it is such a small, I don't know, micro adjustments.
It's milliseconds. And then,
milliseconds. And then you get there and you're like, oh, I'm
unless
back
you're
on
shit.
It.
And then it's like years.
And it's way off.
Four years behind the click.
That's a long time. A whole
like Superman,
Olympics.
You've gone around the world so fast, you've gone back in time. So you're so slow, you're back on it.
Which is, you know, probably a good way to be.
Yeah. You're lagging behind at a gig. Don't worry, in 28 bars, I'll be back on it.
Yeah.
We might be on the two, but don't worry.
Do you know what it's like? It's like when you're in the car and your indicator's on and it's in time with the music. You're like, oh, wow, it's in. And then it kind of goes out and you're like, oh, it's gone. And then it comes back in. Yeah. I like that feeling.
And you're like, I'm just going to keep turning left until... Yeah. I'm just gonna going to keep going anti-clockwise around the... Yeah. Hold on.
This is our exit, Ben.
Just need another loop to get it. We're in. Two, three. Oh, I missed it again.
Right, I'm going to move on. Let's
what are the other two titles?
Slim Thick, Heavy Hand.
Let's do Slim Thick.
Okay.
I like this. I like picking the headlines. That's good. Well,
I've been so excited to do another episode. I was like, when are we recording?
So
again?
Excited. Elfie's moved out.
Slim Thick. So I had a brilliant gig last Saturday with the 80s Hi-Fi. It was at the Brunswick in Hove, a place I played with them last year, and this time it was sold out. So it, do you know what? That's a nice feeling. That's something that
is that because you were on it, like come back,
I mentioned it on Drum and Drummer, and then tickets fucking sold like hotcakes.
I know it's sold out. You do the math.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. But no, it's a nice feeling.
Support Paul Weller all you want, but
yeah.
That's forget not Paul why Weller they're coming, is it?
Yeah, no, no, no. This is it. They want to hear those 80s tunes. No, it's exciting because it's rare, I find, that I have a gig where you know it's going to be packed because you never really know. So the gig was great. I'll just say that. You know, it was the most on it.
Yeah, we've all done good gigs. Yeah, talk about Slim Thick.
So Slim Thick. So we were backstage. It's quite cool. They've kind of renovated the Brunswick and they've made like quite a nice backstage area now. And me and Dean were getting changed. So we're both topless looking in this mirror. And he goes, how would you describe our body type, George? He goes, because we're not like completely slim, but we're not fat, you know. Mm. And he was like, we're somewhere in between. Because, you know, it's like we're not, if you describe someone slim, it's like complete flat belly. And we haven't got a complete flat belly. But we're not fat fucks, you know what I mean? And he was just trying to think of, he was like, what would you call it? Like, and then he came up with Slim Thick. I was like, that's it. There you go. Yeah, that's our body type. And after that became
whereas I'm all thick.
All power. But yeah, with the Slim
Chateau
Thick boys.
Can.
One punch. Anyway.
Dr. Gupta.
Great gig. That was it. I'll say quickly the heavy-handed stuff. So this is something I've observed over quite a while and just never mentioned on the pod, but I thought it's quite an interesting thing. So when I play with Ren, there's one song where I'm playing like a beat on the verse where it's like right hand on the low tom, left hand on the snare. And it's mainly just kick, snare, kick, kick, snare. And the low tom's almost just keeping time and just adding a little bit of something so it's not just kick and snare. But I'm not absolutely hammering the low tom. It's like, it's not.
What would you describe that as? Adding the groove, adding the feel,
More texture. I don't know. I think a kick, snare, kick, kick, snare just on its own can be really sparse. Maybe
that's what I mean. So it's, I'm just thinking of what, you know, a word.
I don't know, but it adds
something. You know, I guess it's doing quavers, it's doing eighths, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pulse. Is it there for pulse? Is it there
for... Might be there for pulse.
Obviously on the floor, it has that, it's, you know, takes it out of the realm of cymbals.
I think it's keeping your
pulse.
I think it's keeping the pulse, but it is adding some sort of low end element to it. Whereas if you did it on the hi-hat, it would be a completely different groove, you know? But more and more, I'm barely hitting the low tom because I still want it to be like kick, snare, kick, kick, snare. And I don't want the low tom to come through. I don't want it to be like a low tom beat. You know, it's not the Hives or anything or Jungle Book, you know. It's not about the low tom.
I wonder if they've ever been used in the same sentence before.
I don't think so, ever. Yeah. The Hives and Jungle Book.
Well, what do you want? Hives or Jungle Book? Well, neither.
you do a session with a producer. He goes, just give me that kind of Hives Jungle Book feel if you can, mate. What?
But you'd know exactly what they want.
Yeah. You would. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fast and on the toms. Yeah. But I was thinking about when I was, you know, first doing gigs when I was 17 or whatever. And I feel like I used to twat the low tom, but not hit the snare as much because I didn't have as much of a backbeat. I think it was just because it was my right hand and it was my strong hand. And I was going, yeah, come on. And I don't know. It's interesting how the dynamics of the things you
hit change. At 17, your right hand's strong.
Yeah, just a
bit.
Well,
it's all the...
Read into that how you want. What?
It's all the writing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all the writing.
From school.
Arithmetic.
Yeah. All the essays. That's what...
Exactly.
That's what's built up that right hand.
Cool. I did a lot of writing. Oh boy. But yeah, no. So when you're smashing away with your right hand on the low tom,
yeah,
yeah, it's just a completely different sound, isn't it? It becomes like as opposed to like do do da do do da. You know, it's like you're learning. Like, right, I'm playing a rock gig. You want it to be kick and snare, and then that can just add something rather than like. You know, it's not Jungle Book. You know what I mean?
All the hives.
I don't know. I've never spoken about it, but I just found that, you know, an interesting thing, like learning more and more about groove and like I don't know. How loud should you play each thing?
Do you know what I'd call that? This won't surprise you because I said it before we recorded. Interlimb Dynamics.
Yeah, that's good, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Your new album's called Slim Thick.
Yeah.
And my book is called Interlimb Dynamics.
Yeah, Interlimb Dynamics. But I remember learning it from a drum teacher, Jack Pollitt, at BIM. And he was sort of discussing, you know, like almost see it as numbers, like make the kick a 10 and the snare a 2, just experiment with that, or like change it up and just be like, right, how can I make this groove sound different? And I remember very specifically, I'll just say, doing it on a rehearsal once, where I did a long rehearsal for like one song, and I was like, right, I'm going to use this to really be like, let's just try every, I don't know, way I can play this one beat, you know, let's try this version with a heavier hi-hat, let's try this time with a heavier whatever.
I'd say on the very, very fundamental level, and I see this a lot on Reddit and things, and where that interlimb dynamic becomes quite key is cymbals.
Yeah.
Definitely in the capacity of a gig where, you know, the whole band isn't mic'd up, you know, like a smaller gig where the cymbals aren't mic'd, but they're loud. So it's a smaller room or it's a smaller PA or something like that. So like, cymbals will just be incredibly brash.
Yeah.
So you'll need to develop to be able to get punch out of your kick, snare and toms, but hit the cymbals a bit less.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. But there's also, there's a point of, I don't know, oh, what's the phrase? There's basically a point of like no return with a cymbal where you start hitting it harder, it doesn't get any louder.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't get any better sounding.
No.
Is it diminishing? There's a point of diminishing return. I think maybe that's the phrase. So there is a level where if you hit a cymbal, it sounds brilliant. But hitting it harder doesn't make it sound better.
No.
But you might still be needing to twat the snare and kick.
Yeah.
So you have to find that balance of, if you're rocking out on the crash, you're... If we're looking at the dynamic scale, I was going to go 1 to 5, but sure, we'll do 1 to 10 as your ex-teacher did. You want me to, your 8s and 9s and 10s on the kick and the snare. But that cymbal is just a nice 6.
Nice 6, yeah.
Just a nice 6. And so it's a similar thing. And it's also, you have to think about what's the dominant force in this beat? What's the interesting thing? And for that bit of Wren, kick and snare is what's the defining point of that section. And the groove they're doing, and the floor tom is just colour.
Yeah, just colour, baby.
Just colour. So you don't need to twat it.
No.
But it is quite hard to, disassociate the dynamics of each limb, as it were. So,
well, I'll say two very quick things on that topic. When I went to see, if he's listening, Laurie, hopefully he hasn't fallen asleep, because I know he uses this podcast to fall asleep too.
Sleep well, Laurie.
Sleep well, Laurie. Wouldn't that be fucking
You're
mental? She's listening to go to sleep.
Independent
go to sleep, Laurie.
Woman.
Rest, sleep. Rest well, Laurie. We went to see The Dark.
Wake up, Laurie! Wake up!
Get up! Went to see The Darkness, and we were watching Rufus, and he was Rufus Taylor, and we were going, God, his dynamics with the cymbals is great, because he doesn't hit them that loud, but the kick and snare is really on it, and he's a good example of that. Freddie Sheed as well, he's someone we haven't mentioned on here before, but he's someone I'm becoming more and more obsessed with, and I watch, he pretty much releases a video every day of him just playing, and he hits the drums like so lightly, but they sound amazing. And he kind of posted a thing about it the other day, talking about when you're recording drums, and it's like, if you hit too hard, you do back yourself into a wall, you know. And he says, like, you can play drums fairly softly and still have such a big sound that sounds exciting and energetic, and it's just interesting.
It's not all about limb movement.
No,
it's not all about, it's economizing technique for maximum returns. Is this a drummer podcast or a business podcast?
Because
I'm coming up with all sorts of bullshit phrases that can be associated.
Right.
But I'm the same. I think it's more through laziness and being fat where like, I remember doing an Oxygen Thief video once. It was a DIY one. It was really shit. But I didn't have in-ears at the time, so I'm playing. But I think Neil's wife was like, like Benedict just looks really bored.
Yeah.
But I'm just not moving a lot, but I can still get a lot of power and attack.
Yeah.
From the drums, and I can just literally sit there still, but I'm still getting a good thwack.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You can see me just. You can get a lot of bang, bang. That's a hard hit. Bang. But for nothing.
You're aware people can't see what you're doing.
I know. Well, you'll clip this bit out.
I will clip this bit out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We haven't got long before we do a guest. So what do you have to talk about?
I can quickly rattle through. Mentioning old boy Jack. Jackie O'Hicklin.
Jack Hicklin, the tennis pro.
Well, I met him in person.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He came down to the old Blacksmiths and we had a recording session.
Yeah.
Working on some new promo for his for a function band he's setting up.
Yeah.
So we spent the day recording drums and bass.
That's cute. It was lovely. How was that?
Yeah. It was great, yeah. It was really nice. We had a good, fun day. I hope he thinks so as well.
Mm.
And I'm gonna call him out here. He won't mind. He might. So he brought his kit in. He had a Mapex kit.
Yeah.
It was a nice little kit. Had to tune that fucker up.
Mm.
Yeah. Bit of tuning. Sounded great. Yeah. He has the same snare we have.
Oh, okay. Cool.
The Pearl Sensitone. He went and got one because we got them. He heard us talk about it, right? And I put it on. I was like, let's try it. And it sounded a bit weird.
Mm.
I was like, something doesn't sound like mine.
Yeah.
So I looked on the bottom and he had a EC2 on
right.
The bottom. He didn't have a snare side head on.
Mm-hmm.
He had like a one ply normal batter, a normal rezzo. And I was like, I don't think we should have this on.
Yeah.
The snare. So then I got mine and he was like, oh yeah, that's much better. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I think you need to change that. But lovely cymbals, lovely kit, good player, and we had a lovely day.
Nice. Cute.
So we got next day booked in to get some guitars and vocals done. But yeah, it was nice to meet him in person.
Yeah.
What else have I got? One of my function bands.
Oh yeah.
We're reforming.
Mm-hmm.
Not reforming. Sorry, rebranding.
Yep.
The old ones. The Mumford and Sons style vintage bullshit. It's dead.
Yeah.
It's dead. Throw the double bass and the banjo in the bin. So we, over Christmas and New Year, we recorded some new audio for promo. And on Friday, we went up to London and shot a new video.
Oh, London.
Yeah, yeah. Annoying. So I've got some clips and stuff I can give you for the Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do it.
But the one thing I really liked about this shoot was that they had a lighting rig, right?
Uh-huh.
All set up. And it looks really good. We've seen the first draft. Looks good. And they'd synced all the lighting up to the music.
Oh, cool.
So every time that track played that we played along to, the lighting's exactly the same.
Brilliant.
So that's quite cool.
Yeah, that is quite cool.
And so like the lights would drop and then kick in when the song kicks in, or we do the theme tune to Friends, and when you've got the claps, the famous claps, but I do that on the snare, the lights flash, give four flashes.
Yeah.
I just thought that was pretty cool. And he was running that all through Ableton.
Good for him. Or her. Oh, you said him.
Yeah.
You're doing the theme tune to Friends?
Yeah.
A few questions. Actually, one question. Why?
Why? Okay, so we want to mix up. This band needs to refresh itself.
Yeah.
We're going down to a four-piece. We're getting rid of the acoustic instruments. But I don't want to do a band that just does your normal function band classics.
I don't want to just do songs. I want to do TV intros, yeah? Malcolm in the Middle next.
But out of my three bands, the most popular is Freshman Year, which does 90s and noughties, pop punk, rock, metal, right? Tapping into that era.
Mm.
So this band is tapping into that era, but on the slightly pop rock side.
Right.
And nostalgia is a big element, and we're seeing a lot of people really digging that early noughties,
late
90s nostalgia. For example, Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield is so popular these days. That song's 20 years old, but it was the song used on the theme tune to The Hills, which was on MTV. Friends has had a huge resurgence since being on Netflix. So we're leaning into that sort of thing.
Busted, McFly, Alanis Morissette, Hanson.
And I want to play songs that I enjoy playing. I don't want to do Don't Stop Believing and all that shit. I don't want to do like a dated function band. We will still do there's still a lot of stuff from the old set we will keep in.
Yeah.
But doing things like Ricky Martin and Spice Girls and hitting that 90s, noughties nostalgia thing. That's what we want to do. So,
brilliant.
Friends theme tune. R.I.P. Miss Chenard Le Bon.
Yeah, this is it.
Let's go. So, but that was fun. But I fully played the drums.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone had earplugs and we were all on in-ears. Didn't have any dampening or anything on the kit, so I could fully play. It was really important. I had it
loud in my ears and I could play the kit fully. And
so we prepared like little minute and a bit clips of each song that we'd recorded. They're all going to get trimmed down. But then, so I'd set up a master playback, which was, it gave us a 4 or an 8 count in. Then we start miming / playing.
Yeah.
Fades out. Then it gives us another 4-bar click. And so it was like 7.5 minutes, and you just roll through that in one hit. And there was 2 camera operators. Nice. We maybe went through it about 8 or 9 times.
Yeah.
And then the last take, all on the drums, baby.
I love
that. There I am, the only one on stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's good.
Fantastic. So,
that's good to, I think because that band, we could have let it die because it just wasn't very busy. But we decided, there's life in the old dogs yet.
Yeah, big time.
But it needed a rebrand. And,
nice. Well, so, fantastic.
Yeah. I did some more drumming for Archie in the studio.
Yeah.
Ones I did a few weeks ago, Neil's done the mixers, and I used my new snares, the Yamaha recording custom, and the BDC Big Softy. Oh, yeah, they sound good. Other than that, I think. Oh, did I write something down? I'll write something down. Maybe I. Oh yeah, that's it. But your video went out, didn't it? The one we did here.
Yeah.
Of you doing the Ren cover. Did that get posted on our Instagram?
No. I don't think so. No. But no, it's just nice, as I said, just to put something up with me playing.
Have you used it? Have you used that video in any capacity to, like, have you actively sent it?
No, not yet. I watched it the other day, actually. Did you?
Yeah, I thought I watched the whole thing on YouTube. It's good.
Thank you very much.
I was like, I just want to check my mix isn't fucking awful.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, sounds good.
That's all right.
It was an interesting one because I didn't have to fully mix it.
And you know me. You know, you'd have to be like, what's this client going to be like?
Yeah.
If anything, I'm probably worse because you do know me. It's like,
oh, can we use another snare?
You know. The plan this week, I've got a few days off. I'm going to make a website and it will be on there. And just so I have more things to send when I'm on my hustle.
Is your logo going to be your name as a signature?
No, it's going to be a weird, it's going to be like a heavy metal logo where it looks like trees and you can't really see what it is. That'll be it. But yeah, just hustling, boy. Just hustling.
Yeah, you're hustling, boy. Yeah.
I was just say quick because in 10 minutes we've got a guest.
Coming out next week, by the way. It's not today.
This is a really long intro.
We pack them in because George is hustling.
I'm hustling.
I'll tell you very quickly.
So I'm on this WhatsApp group with a guitarist, and he. It's all drummers apart from this one guitarist. And he said, oh, I've just turned up to a theatre show.
How did he slip through the net?
Wow. Good question. I won't go too much into it because it might become apparent what the show is and stuff. But he was doing a theatre show, quite a nice theatre, and said, lads, I've just turned up and the drummer is awful. He is rubbish.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it. So.
It wasn't me. And I said, well... If you need a drummer, let me know. He's like, well, it's a week-long gig, and it's every night. I was like, yeah, just let me know. And then later that day...
Elfie wants me gone. She'll love this.
Later that day, he was like, yeah, they fired the drummer. And instantly, I privately messaged him, like, mate, get me in. Get me on this show. And he said, I'm really sorry. Like, the MD already had someone in mind, like... And I don't really know him. I felt embarrassed asking. I was like, it's okay. But, you know, just kind of that energy. Just more of that energy this year. Do you know what I mean? Be like, right, who's got what? Give it to me. Do you know what I mean? Give me the gigs. Anyway, right. Should we wrap up?
Let's wrap up. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. Say bye-bye, George.
Bye-bye, George.
Good. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.